The Summer of Football at 8 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
To be part of a great team, here's Hilton blitzing off the slot again. Passer Hopkins, oh my goodness. Did he catch that? Did he catch that? That's the touchdown catch of the year.
Shotgun snap. Swing pass. Left side throw in the screen 20. Got a block 25. Into space 40.
And he's
Todd
gone.
Gurley hits him gets midfield.
He's gone.
Todd Gurley, 20, 10. Gurley for MVP. Touchdown LA.
Early stages, second quarter. Popped up in the air. Intercepted. Eddie Jackson. Jackson is still going.
The Summer of Football.
Rob gets it. Hands off to Sony Michel. What a hole down the right side. 10-5. Touchdown. Sony Michel rips off another big one. This time for 38 yards.
Breaking into open field and on the run is Josh Adams. Josh Adams. Inside the 30 and the 20 and the 10 and all the way home for yet another super run.
Here's Barkley. Big hole. Left side 20. He's to the 30. Avoids the tackle down the far left sideline. They can't catch him. 10-5. Barkley high steps it across the goal line. 92-yard touchdown run.
The Summer of Football with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
It is the Summer of Football. Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. As we celebrate the great game of football, college, pro, you never know what's going to be, but we know that training camps will be opening across this country, college and pro, very, very soon. The Bears, almost 7-8 days from now, they'll be starting training camp, and that's just going to be awesome. Same thing in college football, but if you're just joining us for the first time in the 8 o'clock hour, weeknights here on Under the Hood, it's very simple. We celebrate football. We talk football at every night at 8 o'clock right here on Under the Hood. So glad you're with me. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is the phone number. Hit me up on Twitter as well, twitter.com, tweetjhood. Also on Instagram, IGJHood. You can follow me there on Instagram. We will have Tales from the Hood coming up for you at the bottom of the hour. We'll hear from Jesse Rogers from San Francisco with the Cubs and their loss against the Giants. We'll hear from him coming up in our 9 o'clock hour. Also, we will hear from comedian Gary Owen, a terrific sports fan. He'll be coming to the Chicago Improv, and that will take place on the 13th, 14th, and 15th. So he'll be at the Improv in Schaumburg, and we'll tell you how you get tickets there and hear his thoughts about some of the sports storylines going around because Gary Owen is a big sports fan. We'll hear from him coming up in our 9 o'clock hour as well. And Darnell Mayberry will get his thoughts from The Athletic because the Bulls continue to play in Summer League. And so we'll get his thoughts on some of the storylines there with the NBA and free agency. Like, where's Kawhi Leonard going? And what's up with Carmelo Anthony? We'll talk to Darnell Mayberry from The Athletic about that within the framework of our show. Glad that you're in today. Still a lot of things that is on my plate that we got to talk about here. Future odds, first and foremost. Before we hear from Akeem Hicks, by the way, he's going to be on the program. The best defensive player, in my view, for the Chicago Bears. We'll hear from him coming up in a few minutes here on Under the Hood. The future odds when it comes to the NFL. So, if you are a gambling person or someone likes to entertain some of these numbers, the NFL future odds, you know who the favorite is. The New England Patriots are 6-1 odds to win the Super Bowl. The Eagles are 8-1. The Vikings are 10-1. The Rams are 12-1. And I look at that 12-1 with the Rams and the Steelers, both at 12-1. I think people are way ahead of their skis, way out ahead on the Rams. Just because they had a good season doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen again. They might be able to maybe step back a little bit from where they were this upcoming season. I scroll down, I look for the Chicago Bears, and I see the Bears at 100-1 to win the Super Bowl. They're tied with the Bengals, the Dolphins, and the Jets to win the Super Bowl. 100-1 odds. Could you imagine? Could you imagine? And I see this is on one of the Vegas sportsbook lines that I have in front of me. As far as the NFC is concerned, I look at the favorites to win the NFC Championship, and I see the Eagles at 5-1. I see the Vikings at 6-1. The Rams are 13-2. The Packers are 8-1. The Saints are 8-1. I scroll down, scroll down, scroll down, and I see at 50-1 the Arizona Cardinals to win the NFC is 50-1, and the Bears also at 50-1 to win the NFC. Interesting numbers here, where I'm just looking for some value. NFC North to win the NFC North. The Vikings are 7-5. Packers 3-2. The Bears 6-1. Lions 6-1 to win the NFC North. So Vegas Insider with them, some thoughts there regarding how they see the Chicago Bears. Even though it might be optimistic from my standpoint, saying that I see the Bears being able to get better than they were last year, Vegas doesn't think the same. You know, Vegas is not wrong very often, but they don't see the same optimism I see with this Bears team. To talk about the Bears, the NFL on Summer Football with me, Jonathan Hood, here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So I went to Mike Sando from ESPN.com. You know, they get so much, it gets you excited for the football season when you go to these sites and you see these previews and just this chatter about the NFL. It gets you excited about the season, because if you're a fantasy player, if you're a gambler, or if you're just a fan of your favorite NFL team, the chatter is interesting. Doesn't matter if your team doesn't have a chance. Doesn't matter if your team's going to be in the middle, or if your team is going to be a Super Bowl contender. It's still very interesting. It's very compelling to me. So I checked out these Bears letter grades, right? So I scroll down, I see the Rams. They have, based on how they look at the teams, they say the Rams are an A-, and they have the Patriots as an A-, and they have the Cardinals as a B+, and the Ravens as a B+. So I'm just looking for the Bears. I get to the Vikings at a B, and the Browns as a B as far as what they've done. The Redskins as a B, same thing with the Chargers, Buccaneers, Browns, Jets, and I'm just scrolling trying to get to the Bears, right? And I finally get to the Bears, and the first thing I see is Bears with a B-. Here's what is said from Mike Sando from ESPN.com. It says the Bears offseason comes down to whether Matt Nagy is the right choice as a head coach. Most executives like the decision to select Roquan Smith 8th overall, despite some concerns over positional value for a 3-4 inside linebacker that early. They were less thrilled about the offensive skill players Chicago added in free agency. Goes on to say that Chicago is a possible A grade for me, according to one executive. Nagy has a good mind. He is a leader. He is gregarious. He is everything that you are going to want in a head coach. They brought in players who fit what he wants to do, with the only real bad contract being Taylor Gabriel. Gabriel being 5'8", by the way, signed for a $6.5 million deal with 14 guaranteed. And one executive said that Gabriel will have a harder time producing late in the season as weather and field conditions worsen. He thought Gabriel belonged on a team with an indoor stadium. So that's just kind of the word on how Mike Sando sees it from ESPN.com. One evaluator said, I wouldn't jump on the bandwagon that fast with the Bears. The guard situation scares me. With Kyle Long unsure, Allen Robinson coming off of injury, Leonard Floyd coming off of injury, Kyle Long coming off of injury, as I talked about, and trying to figure out the DB situation with the Bears. As I mentioned before, here's how I look at the Bears. I just think that 7 wins is a nice base, and I'm sure that inside that locker room, they're looking at 8 or 9 or wins, 10 wins. They want to be able to compete. But the reality is that it is a very competitive NFC North. You know it. I know it as well. As a matter of fact, I haven't made my official prediction yet on who's going to win the Super Bowl. But, man, it wouldn't surprise me if the Vikings are right there at the end. Because we talk about balance on both sides of the football, right? And so with the Vikings being able to get Kirk Cousins, and don't get it twisted. I'm not trying to tell you that Kirk Cousins is Tom Brady or that he's someone that's overly special that can make a huge difference for any football team. Because whatever the numbers say, the numbers have him as an average quarterback. And I think average quarterback can get you to where you need to be. That quarterback doesn't have to necessarily be stellar. That quarterback has to be able to not turn the ball over. That quarterback has to be able to understand and have a rapport with his team and be able to have a sound offense. We saw that with the Eagles last year. The Eagles, man, everything was working so well for the Eagles. One of the reasons why that they were able to get it done, balance on both sides of football, one. But number two is that their offense did just enough, more times than not, to get it done. to be able to win that Super Bowl. And so that's what I look at. I just think that when I look at the NFC North, as I mentioned, I haven't made my official prediction yet, but I mean, on the surface, it looks pretty obvious, right? Three things. One, with the Minnesota Vikings, to me, I see balance on both sides of the football. Number two, when I see the Green Bay Packers, they're going to have a different way of looking things with the Green Bay Packers this upcoming season, because for years they want to sign their own players. They really didn't dip in the free agency very often. And so Ted Thompson was very steadfast of believing in the draft and making sure he signed his own players. And sometimes the players got old. Sometimes it was time for the Packers to be able to do something new. And so now they have a new general manager in place. And so maybe things change for the better. And, oh, by the way, Jimmy Graham is on that Packers team, someone for Aaron Rodgers, a healthy Rodgers to throw to. So you have that going for you. And then you look at the other side with the Detroit Lions, and they changed their head coach again, that Jim Caldwell apparently was not good enough, and they go at Matt Patricia. So Matt Patricia becomes the new head coach for this Lions team, and I as a defensive guy, I hope that Jim Bob Cooter and I hope whoever is on that offensive side can maybe help their running game. Do you realize, I was looking at this earlier today, it is amazing in today's NFL that the Lions still can't run the football properly. They still looking for a 100-yard rusher. They haven't had one since Reggie Bush, and that was like 40 years ago. How does that happen? How does that happen in today's NFL that you cannot run the football effectively? Now, it's one thing, look at Matt Stafford, who could throw the ball in a whole bunch of different angles, sidearm, over the top, three quarters, however you want to do it. He can get it down the field. But I still believe in a solid running game. This is why we pound so much on Jordan Howard for him to be able to get it done. As we talk about the NFL and Summer of Football with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So it is so very important for you to be able to run the football effectively. And so from my standpoint, you have to be able to do that. And unfortunately, the Lions haven't done that in years. They haven't had someone that is a 1,000-yard rusher since Barry Sanders. I mean, so Barry Sanders retires, and then all of a sudden, the running game just shuts down forever? That shouldn't be the case, right? But it certainly was. The Lions have not been able to run the football. So going back to the Bears and looking at their personnel, we talked about that in our first hour. We talked about how I looked at the Bears as a 7-win team, at least on the surface. I look at this football team as a team that is going to be on the rise, but not necessarily right away, because as much as I can believe in this defense, I gotta wait and see the offense grow. I think that's only fair. I'm never one to jump the gun and be overly excited just based on a signing or two, because you never know about injuries. You never know about some of these things. And so I guess as I've grown into this and have been way too excited sometimes when there's signings, I have to be able to kind of calm myself and watch how a team grows. I'm willing to see a team grow and wait for that, them to be over the top about a signing or two. Now, I'll let the players do that. I don't have to be overly excited about it. I think that when we go back to NFL Live, Andrew Hawkins and Field Yates were talking about this. We played this earlier, Felix. Let's hear from Andrew Hawkins and Field Yates, because they were talking about how they look at the Bears. And I think it's just way too soon to have that comparison of the Bears and the Eagles. Eagles were able to just have a few signings, key signings at the right time, and they were able to win. But let's go back to NFL Live, because I think that Phil Yates had something to say that I thought was very interesting about the Eagles and the Bears.
I'm selling this. I don't think it's a legitimate comparison. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Eagles, I think, have probably the most talented roster this season for sure, and last season. I mean, they are really well-versed. I just don't think the Chicago Bears are there yet. They've made some great additions in Trey Burton, in Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, but I don't know if this is a realistic comparison. Mm-hmm.
I think schematically they have a chance to be far more evolved this year than last year when, you know, smart football people once taught me that offensive football is about dictating, defensive football is about reacting. Last year, the Bears were predictable. Defenses could be the aggressor, not the people that had to react here. I think the Bears will be much faster in terms of tempo. It will stress the defense from a, let's just face it, a conditioning standpoint. They have better personnel, that much is for sure, but it all pivots on the arm of number 10, Mitch Trubisky. If he makes that first second-year leap, this team could be on the right track.
So the thoughts there from ESPN regarding the Chicago Bears. It's from TheAthletic.com. Kevin Fishbane, who is a friend of the program, wrote a piece entitled "The Athletic Counts Down the Most Important Bears for 2018. And so they went through the top 10 most important Bears for the 2018 season, and it was Dan Durkin, it was Dan Pompey, it was Kevin Fishbane. And they all took a look at the Bears in their respective top 10 to have some kind of consensus list on how they look at the best Bears. And so they get to Akiem Hicks. Akiem Hicks was 16 games last season. 54 tackles, 8.5 sacks, 15 tackles for loss, 20 quarterback hits, and 2 fumble recoveries. Pretty strong. So why is Hicks important to the Bears? So Kevin Fishbane says this. He says that the defense starts on the front line, and Hicks, who is the most important penetrator of the three, in the past two seasons, he's been the team's best pass rushing weapon with his outstanding combination of size, strength, and quickness. I don't think there's any question about that. That Hicks is important to the Bears because of the numbers I cited. They go on to talk about some of the other players on this football team, like Trey Burton. Now, again, he was with the Eagles last year, but he had one start, 15 games, 23 catches on 31 targets for 248 yards and 5 touchdowns. Man, look, I think that for any football team, it doesn't matter how bad your quarterback is, it doesn't matter how prolific your quarterback is, if you can find someone that can be able to be a safety valve for you, that you can give a five and dime to. He goes 10 yards, he gives you that first down, stretching the field if the wide receivers are covered. You want to be able to have a tight end, right? You want to be able to have tight ends you can depend on. Trey Burton is important to this football team, and I know it's still early, but for Trubisky, who's still learning on the job, you want him to be able to have a safety valve. And hopefully for him, that's someone like Trey Burton. So that's definitely someone they have on this list here on The Athletic. They also talk about Jordan Howard. I don't consider Jordan Howard polarizing, but I know some of you look at Jordan Howard with a side eye, like I did at times last year, and rightfully so, because you want him to be able to catch the ball in a big way in the red zone. So hopefully that can be the case for him. Be more of a red zone guy for the Bears. At the same time, be able to be that prolific runner. We talked about, you know, some of the best offensive weapons for the Bears and how the Bears were ranked 9th out of 10 teams. That's pretty good. That means that the arrow's pointing up for this offense. More from Jordan Howard, more from Tariq Cohen. The offense, I think, as we mentioned before, you want to have balance on both sides of the ball. If the defense is going to take yet another step, from based on how they played last year, I thought there was a playoff ready defense at times last year. Could you imagine if the offense is catching up with the defense? Now you got something cooking. Now you got something in quality. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the upcoming season brings for the Chicago Bears team. As you're listening to ESPN 1000 in the ESPN app, Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood, so glad you're with us. We turn now to a man who is dominant when it comes to the Chicago Bears and defense. He was on with us last year. We only talked to him before camp, because I don't want to disturb him when he's in camp and getting ready for the season. Akiem Hicks is with me, Jonathan Hood, on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Dream, Jonathan Hood, thanks so much for your time.
What's up, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. You heard some of that analysis, right? Do I have that right?
Oh, yeah,
right?
I'm in your head. I'm coming for you.
Okay, you heard what I said, man. I said that at times I thought that your defense was playoff ready. Is that fair?
That's fair.
There you go. See, that's so because here's what you told me last year, and this is when I know that you're true. You told me last year, you told Bears fans, look out, our defense is going to be coming. Our defense is going to be doing some great things. And guess what? You're a prophet.
Yeah, man. I it's hard to call yourself a prophet when you see the hard work that your boys are putting in. And then, you know, my old coach used to tell me, hard work, what did he say? Hard work beats talent. When talent doesn't work hard. Now, on our defense, we have guys that are so talented. New guys came in last year, like Eddie Jackson and the boys. Guys that came back for another year, like Bryce Callahan, Danny Trevathan, Nick Wachowski stepping up. I just saw it, you know, and I see it again this year. we'll see how it finishes out when we get to training camp. But, yeah, I definitely feel good about it. And well, sorry I'm breathing so hard. I'm over here working hard for my Bears fans. I just hopped off my notorious hill.
Okay, that's right. That's right. You told me last year about that hill, man. How's that hill treating you?
Oh, man, it just kicked my butt. I'm not going to lie to you. It just worked me out. I thought I was coming to get a workout. But, you know, it's important because I'm a little superstitious, you know, so I like to make sure I'm doing it. If I have success in something, I like to do it over again. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm back on it.
Akeem Hicks with the Chicago Bears with Jonathan Hood on Summer of Football on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Overall, how's the offseason been for you? You know, working out and just spending time chilling a little bit. How's that been for you?
It's been real good, man. It's been real good. You know, you go through a season where you play 900 and some odd snaps. You know, it's nice to let the body recover a little bit. But all the recovery in the world won't get you ready for a season. So, you know, it was time to really turn it back on heavy about when we started OTA. About a month before we started OTAs, turned it back on, you know what I mean? On the grind, just pushing all the – I can say all the cliche grind terms that's out there on people's Instagram, but I'm just going to say the grind is truth, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, what did you like most about the defense last year? We talked about, you know, as I was leading into you, I said, you know, there's so much to like about how you guys played last year defensively. What are some of the highlights that you remember that you really appreciate the most?
Oh, Eddie Jackson was my biggest highlight. Just watching the young man come into the league in his first year and play that well and be that confident. You know, just his eye for the ball, you know, great hands, very talented, very smart, very athletic. Like, just the whole package, dude. So it was awesome to see him really come in his first year and have a pretty good season.
You know, I thought that just as a whole, that line really, really held up pretty well too. What about your guys on the line? I think that was something that stood out a lot too.
Oh, I love talking about this. First, let's stop off with Mitch Unrein and his traitor little self. He got up and went to Tampa and got some more cheese. But I'm gonna miss him, man. He was a stalwart down there. He just, you know, just one of those just do it all right, tough guys, and just always looking to make everybody better. Then we got Eddie Goldman. The dude doesn't say five words a day, but he is the most ferocious nose tackle I ever played with. He's just aggressive, strong at the point. If you want to go look up a clip, anybody, go look last year, first game of the season. I think the tackle's name was Matthews. Mm-hmm. He blocked out. We were running a stunt. Eddie came back around the stunt, and he power cleaned this dude, like something I'd never seen on tape before. And I think I'm a strong guy. You know what I mean? Like, he's ferocious. And then we got young guys that are stepping into their third year this year. And Jonathan Bullard and Roy Robertson Harris, Mr. Three Names. I think that, you know, one of them is going to have to step up and take that other imposition and, you know, make it a real conglomerate down there and all three of us be able to just get off. So I'm excited about our line.
Akeem Hicks with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app as we do Summer of Football, getting ready for the Bears season as camps open up pretty soon here. How about the draft? Roquan Smith, you have some fresh meat in there now as a linebacker from Georgia. When Smith was drafted, what was your initial reaction to that pick?
Oh, well, you know, let me start talking about this linebacker position first by saying I'm going to miss my guy, Jarrell Freeman. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a heavy blow to our team last year. And, you know, a couple things happened early in the season that, you know, really took his season away. And you never want to see that for a player, a teammate, or a friend. Moving on to the draft, taking Roquan. You know, I didn't know much about the guy. I don't really watch college kids. But when I watched his highlight tapes after he got drafted, the dude is fast, man. And then when he got to practice, he was faster than he was on tape. Mm-hmm. So I really look forward to him taking a couple blocks off my back. And just making our defense better overall. We still have guys, Danny Trevathan and Nick Wachowski. Danny Trevathan, Super Bowl winner in Denver, got better in leadership and just overall nastiness and being able to play, you know, in between the tackles and drop back there and run with pretty much any wide receiver there is on the field. You know, it's phenomenal. Wachowski, he's coming into his own. He got a chance to start some games last year. He played his first year, too. And I'm looking for him to really step up and take another step forward in his progression. Our linebacking core should be pretty good.
Akeem, Vic Fangio is back as a defensive coordinator for this football team. I'm going to tell you this, as you've been around the NFL long enough to know that this doesn't happen very often, man, without support. Because usually when there's a coaching change, everybody goes and everybody comes in fresh. And here's Vic now back with the in the fold. What does that do for continuity for your football team?
Oh, that's big. That's big for us.
You all right, buddy?
Yeah, I stepped into a so the sandhill is in the freaking forest in Florida. And so I have to walk through a forest in order to get to the sandhill. And I walked in the spider web.
Man, it's dark. Nobody man. Do you have a light on out there? It's dark right now, is it not?
No. I'm walking through the forest with Jonathan Hood on ESPN, and I'm enjoying myself. But what was your question again? I'm sorry.
Vic Fangio is back. What does that do for continuity with your football team? Because, as you know, in this league, once there's a coaching change, everybody goes, but Vic is able to stay. So what does that do for your football team that he's back this season?
Hey, and secondly, that better not be no dang soundbite. But what I was going to say was that Vic Fangio, you know, he better came back. He knew he had better come back. We, you know, the guys in the room just love him, man. He's phenomenal. Upstairs loves him. He's just he's one of those guys that's been around the league for, what, 30 years?
Yeah.
And I remember when I was back in New Orleans and I used to play that defense, that San Francisco 49ers defense, when they came down to New Orleans. And just to see how on cue they were and just to see how much fun they were having. And, you know, it almost makes you want a taste of it. And just having him back for another year, I can't explain how many conversations I've had with guys about how ecstatic they were to have that same coordinator back.
How about the NFC North? You know, I know that you all, once, especially when you get to training camp, you're blocking out all the noise. But I just think that it's going to be a very competitive division once again with the Lions, the Vikings, and the Packers. You know how important it is, Akeem, to be able to win in your own division. But what do you see for the NFC North and those foes?
I'm giving you all kind of sound bites right now. I just had a random pair of motorcycle guys drive past me. I'm so sorry, Jonathan. I'll have more respect for your show next time I'm on. I didn't mean for all this stuff to go on in the background. But tell me your question one more time, bro.
No, it's fine. It's radio. It's theater of the mind, Akeem. Once you retire, you're going to be my partner anyway. We're going to do the show together, so you'll know why this is funny right now. So
Let's do it, baby.
So in the NFC North, there's the Packers, the Lions, and the Vikings. It's a very competitive NFC North. How do you what's your outlook? Because it's going to be very difficult once again in the division.
Man, you know what? My personal feeling is I eat cheese, I eat birds, and I would love to go hunt me a lion. I'm not worried about anybody in our conference. I know what we have as a defense, as an offense, as a team, and just how we've rebuilt this year. We got so many weapons on offense now. That's going to keep us off the field a little bit. It's going to be ferocious, man. Bear down.
All right. So last thing, and I appreciate your time. What do you want to tell Bears fans about this upcoming season?
Man, you know what? I feel like, you know, going through these past two seasons, you know, I was texting somebody in our front office earlier today, and one of the things that I said to him was that we haven't sniffed the playoffs in 2 years. And that's a little bit too long for me. In my 7-year career, I've been to the playoffs three times. There's no feeling like it. And that's our goal. That's my goal. That's what I'm pushing towards. And, you know, I'm going to grab as many guys and pull them with me. And I know we got other guys on our team that'll do the same. And we're going to march into the season and tear somebody up.
Well, Dream, I'm glad you spent some time, man. Be careful of the spiders when you're out there now. Don't get bit.
Oh, man, don't do that to me, baby.
Just be careful,
Thank you
Dream.
For having me, brother. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Akeem Hicks of the Chicago Bears with us on Summer of Football here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Oh, my goodness. He's so funny. All right, coming up, we have Tales from the Hood. And don't forget, at the top of the hour, we'll get a chance to hear from Jesse Rogers on the Cubs and their loss against San Francisco. Also, comedian Gary Owen will be with us also in our next half hour as well. Stay with us as you're listening to Under the Hood.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.
What do you got there?
This is your car.
My car? I said a 10-second car, not a 10-minute car.
Pop the hood.
Pop the hood?
Pop the hood.
Tales from the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Here we go.
Tales from the Hood, right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, is brought to you by the fine folks over at Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. The Wildcats return to Ryan Field this fall after a 10-win season to host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, and more. Buy tickets at NUSports.com, NUSports.com. Tales from the Hood with me, Jonathan Hood, on ESPN 1000. Glad that you're with us. Well, as I mentioned, we will hear from Jesse Rogers from San Francisco as the Cubs fall in extra innings to the Giants. Also, Gary Owen will be on the program, the comedian, Cincinnati Bengals fan. We'll hear from him coming up in our next half hour here on ESPN 1000. Now, Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. You never know what is going to come up when it comes to Tales from the Hood. We'll start here with this story. From the New York Post, Instagram model attacked by shark while posing for photos. An Instagram model from California had a Jaws-worthy moment in the Bahamas, where she was bitten by a shark and dragged underwater after deciding to swim with the predators, according to reports. Katarina Zaterski, who's 19, was vacationing in the Exuma Islands with her boyfriend and his family when she heard the locals that swimming with nurse sharks was fun and safe. Katarina says, my boyfriend's family was freaking out when I went to swim with the sharks, and I was like, it's fine. Zaterski is a nursing student at the University of Miami. She said that after a few moments posing, someone on the pier encouraged her to get back and float in the water. At this point, people were staring at me and starting to take photos as I lay back, right? He had my wrist in his mouth, part of the expression, and I could feel his teeth sinking into my arm, part of the expression. I was pulled underwater for a few seconds and then ripped my wrist out of the shark's mouth as fast as I could. Oh my God. It's so terrible. At that point, your body has so much adrenaline, you just have to try to get out of that situation, but I stayed extremely calm. Oh my God, I was so calm.
First of all, so ridiculous. I mean, you think that it's kind of cool if I just have this Instagram photo. Of course, knowing her, because she's, hold on, let me check the age.
What did 19. I say?
She's 19. 19, right? Clearly, I'm sure it wasn't one of those keeper vote photos. It was just one that you could just see for 24 hours.
The IG stories?
Yes, the IG story. Yes. she's just so ridiculous. She's just like, oh, take this from my Instagram story. Oh, where's my picture from, like, when on the trip? Oh, it's gone.
The one that doesn't last.
Right, exactly. Oh, it's gone.
Do it for the gram. How about that?
God, it's dumb.
Sharks. Why? It's like, when do you trust sharks? I don't care what anybody has to say. There's no way I'm trusting sharks. I'm good. It's not worth it.
You don't trust the sharks on ABC with the TV show. You don't trust the sharks, the card sharks, the old game show. You don't trust the San Jose Sharks. You don't trust the sharks trying to do Instagram photos with them. You just don't trust sharks. On to the next. Guinness Book of World Records. Owner of world's longest nails has them cut after growing them for 66 years.
That's disgusting.
There's some sisters here on the south and west side that probably could beat them. You can find them at your local lounge.
I love my nails, though.
You all right, buddy?
Yeah, I'm just... Have you seen the picture? You saw the picture right in front of you?
Oh, my God.
Oh, so bad.
I don't know if we should...
No.
I was going to put this out. You know, I was going to put this out on Twitter for some people to see it, but if you go to GuinnessWorldRecords.com and go to the nail section, the petty and nail sector. You can see that for yourself.
Very specific.
Oh, my goodness. So the owner of the longest fingernails ever recorded on a single hand had them cut after 66 years. So this guy from India had his nails, which holds the longest fingernails on a single hand. By the way, it was just on his left hand.
That's weird.
Not on his right hand. It was on his left hand.
If you're going to go all in, you better go in all in, right? Why one hand over the other?
To try to give to context of this, Felix, we got to do this. The individual's nails, this guy, right? Little finger was 179.1 centimeters. Ring finger, 186.6. The middle finger was 186.6. The index finger was 164.5 centimeters. The thumb nail was 197.8.
Jesus. That's long.
So his thumbnail was the longest, followed by the middle finger, of course.
How do you walk around with that? Like, I don't even, I'm so curious to know how he managed on a daily basis to, like, carry those nails around. Because they're pretty long. So you must have had some type of, like, wear for it, right? Like gloves or something. It's weird.
Kevin Scott Bailey, and I usually don't go to the comment section on this story, but you scroll down to the bottom. Kevin Scott Bailey says, this is the dumbest thing I've seen on the internet today.
Yep, I agree.
Like, why would this be? Oh, gosh. All right. On to the next. Burglar trapped inside. Burglar trapped inside escapes room, business calls 911. This is from the UPI. That's why it's written that way. Authorities in Oregon said that a burglar found 911 when he found himself in an ironic situation trapped inside an escape room business. The Clark County Sheriff's Office said deputies responded to a 911 call at about 4 a.m. from a man who broke into the Northwest Escape Experience in Vancouver and discovered that he was unable to get back out again. So investigators said that the man took a phone, a TV remote, and a beer from the business fridge before discovering that he had damaged the back door while breaking in and was unable to leave through it. The sheriff said he had a burrito and he was sitting there to have breakfast and a beer, I guess, and he got scared because he couldn't get out, he told King TV. The suspect gave dispatchers a false story about breaking into the business to call for help because his home had been broken into. The man did manage to get out of the building before police arrived, but he was found outside the strip mall and arrested. Unbelievable.
And for those who don't know, the escape rooms are like the simulated rooms that you go in and you're given, I believe, like in an hour to escape it. So there's clues and everything around the room and you're given that hour to escape the room. And if you don't, then you fail the mission.
Burglar stuck in Vancouver escape room and panicked.
So if you're within that hour and you're just kind of like, all right, I need to win this, let me call 911 and see if there's another way to escape it without losing officially, right?
That's again, pettiness. If you lost, you lost, pal. Just move along. All right, Felix, what do you have?
Miami man with no arms charged with stabbing Chicago tourist.
That's the end of the story, right?
That's right. You don't even have to go further than that, right? A homeless Florida man with no arms has been charged with stabbing a Chicago tourist. Miami Beach police says that 46-year-old Jonathan Crenshaw held a pair of scissors with his feet and stabbed a 22-year-old Cesar Coronado just after midnight Tuesday. The Miami Herald reports that Crenshaw is a popular fixture in the area, known for painting on canvases along a trendy spot in South Beach. According to the arrest report, Crenshaw says he was lying down when Coronado approached him and kicked him in the head. Police said Crenshaw stabbed Coronado twice and fled from the scene. A friend who was traveling with Coronado said that Crenshaw came towards the direction when he suddenly jumped up, stabbed Coronado in the arm, and then was taken to the hospital. Crenshaw has been charged with aggravated battery. How about that for a headline, though, right? Miami man with no arms charged with stabbing someone. I've never in my right mind ever thought of how else can you stab someone? Like, with your feet? Never would have thought that. That's so strange. So strange.
The fugitive, they're looking for the one-armed man, and this one is just the armless man. It's like, like if I can't get you with my arms, I'm going to get you with my feet. My God. Either way, I'm going to stab you. I'm going to find a way with my... I can't get it with the arms. I can't get it with my mouth, but I'm going to get it with my feet.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I
can't even believe that story. And that, my friends, is Tales from the Hood for a Wednesday edition right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. It's so ridiculous.
Some pretty bad stories, right? Like, very petty, weird. You have the Instagram story, then you have the nails, and then you have a man stabbing someone with no arms. That's Tales from the Hood, right?
That's the way, just the way you say that, it's so funny, just ridiculous. He stabbed somebody, but he has no arms.
No arms, yep.
Okay. We'll hear from Jesse Rogers from the Bay Area, his thoughts about the Cubs and their loss against San Francisco. Also still to come, Gary Owen, comedian, will be coming to the Improv in Chicago. We'll hear from him in our next half hour as well. Glad you're with us here on this Wednesday edition of Under the Hood.
Yep, yep. Hey, yo, Jay, look, you know nobody covers the sports like you do, man. Let's go. You're listening to my mans and them, Jonathan Hood, on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Glad you're with me. Coming up at the top of the hour, comedian Gary Owen will be on the program as we get a chance to get his thoughts. As he's a Cincinnati Bengals fan, of course, he's coming to Chicago at the Chicago Improv. Funny guy. Sports fan, talk about his career, all part of our program coming up at the top of the hour at 9 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000. I want to go back to something I was talking about a few days ago that still seems to be a thread on my Facebook wall, Facebook.com. And that is that I asked a question about John Lester and Marian Hossa. And you say, well, what does Marian Hossa of the Blackhawks and John Lester have in common? It was a great piece that was written from Patrick Mooney on theathletic.com about him believing that John Lester is the best free agent that Chicago's ever had. And I went on Facebook and asked a question. Enrique Gonzalez says John Lester helped bring a championship to Chicago. Others on here were talking about how they thought that, let's see, Vernon Cole says it's a push because they both won championships, which is awful because I hate being on the fence. Craig says Hossa all day because he won three cups. There's some Lester love on here as well. So you can still jump in on my Facebook wall about that. Who is the better free agent of all time? Is it Hossa with the three cups with the Blackhawks, or is it John Lester with the Cubs finally helping the Cubs win a World Series? All right, coming up, we will hear from Gary Owen, his thoughts about the world of sports and his career. It's coming up next in Under the Hood.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.